Welcome to Bullships, where we use pop culture to initiate conversations, call out the myths portrayed in entertainment, and empower listeners with information to improve relationships. We're your hosts, Kelly and Stephanie. Hello, and welcome to episode 43, Happily Ever JT, Justin Timberlake.
We had to talk about
it. We had to. I feel like the media around it has kind of died down, yeah. But I still think it's just really important.
It is. Well, and I mean, for another day, yes. But why has it died down so quick when other stories are just like beat to the ground?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
The world loves JT. What can we say?
The world does love JT. So long story short, I guess a couple weeks ago, photos surfaced. That Justin Timberlake was holding hands with his very beautiful co-star in, I guess, a new movie or a show, movie?
Yeah, I think it's a movie.
That they are filming, and it is a movie, because the movie sounds really good. and so photos surfaced that, I guess, like, cast had gone out to get some drinks, and it shows photos of him and his co-star holding hands, and being close, and laughing, gasp. and so that, of course, set the media world astorm, and, you know, bunch of people saying, like, oh my gosh, like, what does this mean about Justin Timberlake, who's been married for 7 years?
And gushes, right?
And
about his wife all the time.
About his wife, has a 2-year-old son with her. So what does that mean about their relationship? And then also,
it was pretty shocking, too, because he's, like, so... has this, you know, persona of being so clean cut and such a nice guy, and he would never. And so I was pretty shocked when I heard something like that.
Yes. Same here.
Or you think you'd be smarter about it. Right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the same thing. I was completely shocked that I was like, oh my gosh, like, we have to do something about this because it's, you know, standing out. So, yeah, that happened. And then... let's see. And then there were also sources that came out and was like, hey, it's just a group of people hanging out and nothing happened. They're just friends. So a bunch of people said that. And then Justin Timberlake came out with his apology of just, you know, that, hey, it was a lapse of judgment. I'm sorry I put my family in a really difficult position. Yeah. And that was it. And then after his apology, I feel like it all died down and no one's talking about it. But there's so much you can learn about this experience.
Yes.
And so we wanted to make sure that we did highlight it.
I think, too, I'm even more excited to talk about this because in the day and age where there's so many pictures being taken all the time, like, this is it. Go us for talking about something. So relevant.
We're patting ourselves on the back if you can't see
I just thought about that right now. Like, not like this kind of applies, I think, to everybody, even if it's not a picture that's being taken. Like, I was watching, oh my gosh, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. An Instagram story of the Bachelor alums. They were all getting together, and it was just pictures of them. But then there, in the background, there was a guy making out with a girl. And I was like, ooh, what's that tea? I mean, that's pretty obvious that they're together, but I did wonder who that was. But those people I don't even think knew were on the story because it's just done so quickly. And so our first topic that we're going to be talking about today based on this picture is what assumptions can be drawn from a photo, you know, a brief second in time that just like, you know, creates this huge story. You know,
and I don't know if it's the therapist in me that just tries to be like so neutral all the time. So, like, this comes out, and like you said, you know, it was like the initial shock of like, could this have really happened with like all we know about JT and like his love for his, you know, wife? But like you were saying, the assumptions that then come out, and then me kind of, you know, playing both sides of this is a photo, you know, it is like you were saying, like a second in time, you know, is it that she was reaching over and being like, hey, do you want a drink? Since right. they were at a bar and her hand was on his, you know, on his leg. Because right. that's one of the photos. The holding hand one took me a little bit, you know, longer to kind of try to think up of like an assumption of what could be happening. Yeah. But what if, you know, what if they were having a close conversation mm-hmm. and, you know, he was holding her hand and, you know, it was fine in that situation. So a lot of assumptions that can come from just a photo. What were your thoughts when you first kind of saw it all?
Shock.
Yeah.
You're, no, I was, I'll be honest, I'm a little bit of a hater when stuff like this comes out and get a little bit like, ugh, another one, yeah. you know? So I think that was my initial reaction. Yeah. But as I started thinking about it, and really a lot of the news that came, like you were mentioning, came out that this isn't anything,
yeah.
Made me kind of reconsider and say, all right, let me give this situation a chance. Yeah. And a lot of things came to mind that are common things that I've experienced throughout my career, which is, when you have a female coworker and you're on location, so you're away from your home, I'm not an actor, but I think that they have really long days,
yes.
and they work closely together. Mm-hmm. How can you not have feelings towards somebody? And I'm not saying like necessarily this is somebody I want to, romantic, or I'm going to leave my wife over this, or even risk my relationship. But there is a closeness that comes, mm-hmm. and it sucks to talk about this because it can be very painful, but it's true that sometimes we are attracted to our coworkers.
Yeah.
And if you're working 13 hours a day, you go have some drinks, maybe you're talking about the movie, or maybe you're talking about something totally unrelated, but a closeness develops, and then physically you start holding hands. Yeah, I don't think that JT is, I think he's just like the rest, stars are just like us, that this stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, you know? I mean, they're still human.
They're still human. Yep.
Actors are still
absolutely.
Human. But I do think, I mean, and even just to, I guess, you know, kind of widen the thing, I think it is a topic that's kind of, I don't know if it's scary for people to talk about, but the fact that this can be, that you can be in a relationship and still find someone else attractive or have a connection with somebody.
Yep.
And I feel like it's something that like happens because we're human and mm-hmm. there's millions of us like mm-hmm. on this earth, that even like just because you're in a relationship doesn't mean that all of a sudden like
you
that,
lose that piece
turned
of
off. Right. Yeah. That all of a sudden you don't find anyone, you know, else attractive. Now the line is between, you know, balancing the emotional piece mm-hmm. and the logical. Like, okay, sure, I may find this person attractive like right now in the moment, mm-hmm. but in the long run I want what I have with my partner, which is that security and safety that I already have now, and
right.
so why would I, you know, or like, you know, if you're married you have vows, if you know
right.
like there's so many things, but I think that's the line of like, yes, you can have this like, you know, attraction, but also like balance it out with logic as to you know what it really is.
Well, and I think too, to kind of add to that, it's funny because I was like, that's something we're taught in school, because we have such close intimate relationships with our clients, mm-hmm. that one of the things that they teach us in counseling school mm-hmm. is that this may happen. You may develop feelings or attractiveness towards your client or vice versa, and how you manage that. But that goes far beyond our profession, mm-hmm. and I think anybody who is in a workplace or just has like a guy friend or a girlfriend, this may happen. And to not misinterpret it mm-hmm. as you're a bad person or I mean, maybe take some time to decide if this is like the person that's meant to be. I think sometimes mm-hmm. we're like, oh my God, I have these feelings. Maybe the universe is telling me
this must
person.
Mean something.
This must mean something.
When really it could just be like,
nah, you're
just
human.
Yeah,
right?
You're human, or you like an aspect of this person's
right.
personality. Again, all feelings are, you know, our messages. They're
yes.
just trying to tell you something. But like you said, I love that breaking it down of like, you know, find out, take some time as to like what it means. And it doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. mean like throw everything out the window
totally.
And follow, you know, this person.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, and think about the damage that could be done if you did something like that. Mm-hmm. In addition, it could also be an indication of something that you're missing in your own life. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, Johnny at work is starting to look super hot to you, I mean, maybe mm-hmm. he looks good that day, yeah. but also maybe you're starting to develop feelings for him, mm-hmm. do a little self-check and say, what am I missing in my own life? And it may have nothing to do with your partner. Mm-hmm. It could be that you're struggling mm-hmm. with self-esteem issues and Johnny tells you you look hot today, or that'd be a little inappropriate yeah. if Johnny said that. But if he said,
especially in the workplace environment.
Especially in the workplace. That's an HR issue. Yes. Maybe he just says something like, hey, you're looking great today, and your heart kind of lights up. And, yeah. and maybe it's because you were feeling insecure that day and somebody just tapped into something that you needed in that moment, mm-hmm. and not misinterpreting that as mm-hmm. a love connection yeah. or a soulmate or something like that. Yeah. Being careful not to do that.
Exactly. And again, we spend a lot of time, you know, at work, since we're talking yeah. about that topic, where you can start talking about, like, you know, deeper things and, you know, perhaps getting advice about, like, other oh, yeah. things. So that, you know, that can happen. And then that just kind of, you know, emotional support, you know, can be a part of the relationship.
Absolutely.
As well. I think what's also important, though, when it comes to that is, you know, figuring out either for yourself or if you are in a relationship of, you know, what are the boundaries mm-hmm. regarding, you know, how much you want a coworker to be that emotional support.
Totally.
You know, like, it can happen, and I understand that it happens, you know, but, you know, is that something that you would want your partner to do or you would want to do? You know, in this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And also being able and willing to possibly discuss it with your partner mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Again, these are things, if we're talking about the photo.
Yeah.
What if JT told Jessica, mm-hmm. His wife,
yeah.
that
Jessica Biel,
hey, my coworker is awesome, mm-hmm. and but gosh, she's going through a really tough time right now, and so we're gonna go grab drinks after our shoot mm-hmm. today, and just kind of chat it up and whatever. Mm-hmm. She could be totally in the loop for all mm-hmm. we know. I mean, she has exactly. not said a word,
nope.
which I don't know if I would either.
Yeah,
I'd be like, don't talk to me.
Yeah,
don't talk to me. Let me process this on my own.
Exactly. But you're right. I mean, we don't know what their relationship mm-hmm. is. If it, you know, if they had talked about this, if she doesn't see that as mm-hmm. like bad, you know, if she yeah. was just like, oh, I hold hands with my friends all the time.
Well, and they might have a very secure relationship
yeah.
where that stuff doesn't really faze them,
yes.
you know? And,
yes.
and if stuff like that does faze your relationship, where are some of the insecurities that are going on that you need to kind of address?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that you just have, you know, we all have different boundaries or things that we're okay
totally.
With. And so I think that kind of plays into it as well. But I do think that, you know, there's just a lot of assumptions that were made. I mean,
yeah.
granted, JT did come out with the apology,
yeah.
which, I mean, again, even if we're assuming that, like, you know, their relationship is super secure and, you know, all of
yeah.
that, you know, who knows if that was just for all of us very invested in the story where he was just apologizing of, like, hey,
like,
I can see that
up.
Looks, yeah. Hey, I know that this looks bad.
Right.
Here's an apology. So you guys stop talking
exactly.
about it. Exactly. Thanks, you know.
So, but to, that's a good segue. But to your point, if there was an apology needed, it implies that there was what you have. I'm gonna give you credit. Somebody else can tell me if this is not Stephanie's to own, is a relationship injury.
It definitely isn't. I learned that in school.
you taught me, therefore you're, no, just kidding.
Yeah.
I love that though, right?
Yeah.
I think we probably used it in the podcast before. I think it's a really good way of conceptualizing hurt that
mm-hmm.
we have, and a relationship
mm-hmm.
injury is just a great term to
yeah.
use. And
yeah.
I think maybe they had a little bit of one of those
mm-hmm.
when this photo came out.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I mean, a relationship injury is just something that affects the relationship that's hurtful to,
mm-hmm.
you know, a partner. And the whole idea of calling it a relationship injury, well, words are powerful. And so sometimes I think when we think about relationship injury, it's something that can be fixed. It's
yeah.
something that we can work through.
Healing needs to be
yes,
done.
Yes, healing
mm-hmm.
needs to be done. And so how do you do that?
Yeah, you know, and that's in this with we'll kind of talk about this case, but in a relationship injury, so there's a damage that was done that requires now some healing. So let's, oh my God, SMH. We're gonna assume.
We are going to assume what we just said to not do in the whole first part of this podcast, but we're going to assume.
Right, we're going to assume that there was hurt that was done. And that's got to be hard. If your husband is away on work for, I don't know, let's at least a week. I'm sure he flies home on weekends and things like that. And you have a two-year-old. Like, there's a lot of, that's stressful.
Yeah, and you're missing him.
You're missing him. And you're kind of doing the whole, like, single parent thing for a week or whatever the case may be. That's hard.
Yeah.
So when this injury happens and you have to start the repair process, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, there has to be honesty on both people's ends.
Yeah.
Jessica needs to be able to express her hurt in all of that and why
her feel
and fears and, you know, if there's any old wound stuff that comes up. And so being able to properly express yourself is going to be really, really important.
Yes.
And then Justin is going to have a responsibility to be really, really honest about what the situation was, where it came from.
Yes, absolutely. And not only honesty, but also having space in your heart, not to get so like intense about it, but like space in your heart to be able to like willing and to be able to also acknowledge and validate what the other person's feeling. I think one of the biggest feelings that can pop up is defensiveness. Like when you see a person that you care about hurt, and they're kind and it's kind of geared towards you, sometimes our usual kind of thing to do is, well, I'm going to defend, or I'm going to give a reason on like why your feeling is wrong,
or even dismiss it like, oh, it was no big deal. Like we were it was just a second snapshot photo, didn't mean anything. So, and which I think dismissiveness is a form of defensiveness too.
Absolutely. And so, you know, really, you know, to get on this process of repairing a relationship injury is, like you said, not only to be honest, but also of being able to have space to listen to the other person and acknowledge and validate what they're feeling.
Right.
I think what makes it tough sometimes is if you wouldn't feel the same feeling in the same situation. Like I hear, you know, I'll sometimes hear that from people of like, and not even like in relationship injuries. But just of like, oh, like why'd she get so upset that I didn't respond to her text or something, you know? It could be a friend, it could be something. And you know, we'll sometimes say like, well, put yourself in their shoes. It's like, okay, that works when you would feel the same way in the same situation. And so sometimes instead of putting yourselves in the other person's shoe, I like to think about it more as like, put yourself in that same feeling. What situation would bring that same feeling that the other person is expressing to you? And then you can connect way more than if you just try to think about like the situation that happened.
And if you're having a hard time with that piece that you're talking about, because it's you're 100% right, like that is an absolutely necessary step to take in rebuilding or healing this injury, if you will. If you're not able to go into that emotional space or understand that emotional space that your partner is experiencing, why not? And I think that's another big piece of this is there is a repair that needs to happen for the relationship, the two people coming together with honesty and with an ability to listen to one another. But there's also responsibility to reflect on your own stuff too. You know, what is, for example, if Justin is in a place where he's saying like, oh, it was no big deal, like I really didn't think it meant anything, how much work is he really doing onto himself to understand why that happened, like why did it feel okay for him? And maybe he still feels it's okay for him to hold her hand or whatever, but why? What's the, what's the reasoning behind that? What's the motivation behind that? And maybe that motivation, that honest motivation of, or that honest discovery of that motivation can really help Jessica understand where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they can start the healing process. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah. And relationship injury, I mean, are things as, I mean, it's kind of a broad, like, it encompasses a lot. Like, it could just be like, hey, you're, you know, trying to get your partner's attention and they, like, snap at you, or they don't even listen to mm-hmm. you, you know, or ignore you, and you feel, like, a little bit of that hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, that could be a small, like, cut, you know?
For sure.
Or a relationship injury, like, cheating, or, you know, whatever else that other people, you know, kind of perceive as being kind of, like, big. That's, like, open, gushing wound, right, you know? Right. And so, so knowing that, you know, it encompasses a lot, and realizing that, you know, repair is possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you know, it really depends on where people are at and the effort that each person wants to put, depending on, you know, what it is. But, you know, I'll always say that it really isn't how many arguments a couple has that is going to make the, you know, is going to make them successful. It doesn't mean, like, okay, if we argue, like, 3 times a year, that's better than the couple that argues 100 mm-hmm. times a year. What kind of signifies, you know, success, at least in my eyes, yeah. in a couple, is if you're able to repair.
100%.
When things mm-hmm. happen, are you able to be honest, mm-hmm. acknowledge, validate, and be able to move on and not have it something that harbor, that's something that you carry. You know, not saying that it has to be gone in that second, but it's not something that you're going to build resentment over.
I love that you just said that. And I think a lot of times couples will be so exhausted from the fighting process or the conflict process that sometimes people will avoid it.
Yeah.
And that's just such a dangerous trap to fall into. Mm-hmm. So with your example of, oh, well, we only had 3 fights a year. It's like, okay, but how much did you learn from it and grow mm-hmm. from it? How well did you listen to one another? Mm-hmm. How well did you take that learning and implement that growth into your relationship? That's such a great point that mm-hmm. it's not about the frequency of the fighting. It's the ability to recover from, mm-hmm. recover in a growth type of way.
Yeah.
And those are the people that, you're right, do have the most successful
yeah,
relationships.
Yeah. And luckily, I mean, the beautiful part about it is, like, that's something that can be learned. Not everyone,
absolutely.
Not everyone knows that. Not everyone is born with these great conflict
right.
resolution skills, but it's something that, you know, you can read in books. It's something that you can go see a therapist
right.
for, but it's something that
you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Great
Which
point,
is
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. It is awesome, because if you're frustrated, yeah, with the place your relationship is at, maybe you just need a little bit of breakthrough, a little bit of tools to understand what the best communication techniques might be for you guys.
Exactly.
So I know, as usual, we have to talk about our bullshits.
Absolutely.
And so
the reason why this podcast is named
say,
that.
The thing that I probably initially felt uh-huh. when I saw this picture is part of our bullshits, which
yeah.
is like, Jessica, leave him.
Yeah.
Leave your man. If a picture comes out like this and he's holding hands with this chick, leave your man.
Yeah.
Right? Bullshit.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Bullshit. Bullshit. You don't have to. Jessica, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Kelly.
We don't know what your relationship rules are.
Exactly.
We are not going to assume that this
yeah.
is all catastrophic
yeah.
and the marriage is done and over with.
Yes.
They might have a very secure relationship. They might have
yeah.
a great therapist that helps
yeah.
them with these little injuries that
yeah.
they undoubtedly go through often.
Yeah.
And we just need to, like, chill.
Yeah.
Kelly, just chill.
Yeah.
Man.
So if a relationship injury happens, you know, or something that, you know, is seen as, like, I don't know, you know, kind of breaks relationship rules,
mm-hmm.
like you said, the bullshit is like, that means immediately be done with
yeah.
that person or cut them off. But as we know, and, you know, hearing us talk about, you know, relationship injury and healing, is that, you know, sometimes those moments can even make a relationship stronger, because how vulnerable you kind of get in the whole repair part. But I think another important thing to bring up is, like, like you were saying, like, you saw that photo and you were like, oh, girl, leave him. You know, I think that sometimes almost, like, the power of persuasion, you know, that we're all different people. We all have different limits to what we feel like is appropriate and not. And I think sometimes you can be, I don't know, almost like influenced if, you know, you hear so many people saying, you know, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. What I heard, the biggest voice that I heard when this whole thing came out were the people, the sources who were like, it's nothing. They're friends. We were all there together. Right. Like, that was the biggest one, which I think can also influence the other way, you know, of, oh, like, this is making me feel uncomfortable, but everyone's saying it's okay. Yeah. And so I'm not going to say anything about it. Right. Or I'm going to say something about it, and then the other people are like, why? Right. Like, that's so small. That's so you just want to fight or whatever. And so then you be quiet, you know? And so I think that's something to keep in mind, too, of, like, finding out what your barriers or boundaries are, you know, when it comes to coworker relationships for yourself, for your partner. But, yeah, I kind of went on a tangent with that
Well,
one.
Well, I think
it all seemed to make sense in my head.
It does make sense. And I think that you hit on some of the takeaways that we wanted to talk about, which is think about what your comfort levels are. And even though all the people around you might be saying, like, hey, no big deal, but you still have like kind of that pit in your stomach, don't silence that just because other people are telling you to.
Yeah.
Or that they're saying you're crazy or you're being over dramatic or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that you have to think that the pit in your stomach is like, yes, I'm right and validated in that he did cheat on me, but it is something, you know, we say it all the time. Your body's sending you a message. Pay attention to what that message is and being able to communicate that to your partners. So one of the takeaways is if you do experience that, and it doesn't have to be in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. This could be in the workplace. It could be with friends. Mm-hmm. If you are experiencing that, like, something just doesn't totally feel right, listen to it. Explore that. Talk to people about it. Talk to your partner about it, your coworker, your friend, whatever.
Yeah.
So that you listen to your gut and really kind of make peace with that. And sometimes sometimes the hard part about that is the other person might not even know that, like, maybe, make, like, for example, so common what we hear with these, with a lot of clients that we talk to, I just want to know why. I just want to know why something like this happened. Great question, sure. We all want to know why, but sometimes the person doesn't really know why. Maybe they haven't done their total self-reflection yet. Maybe they kind of got wrapped up in a caught feelings, as Post Malone says. And many others.
Yeah.
Maybe they just caught feelings that they didn't know how to really handle in a proper way, and they need to do their own work to be able to answer that question fully. Mm-hmm. And so just being patient with that process.
Yeah, absolutely. But definitely, you know, to basically copy what you were saying, you know, when you get that feeling that something isn't sitting well, explore it. Like you said, you know, don't make it be a fortune teller that tells you yes or no, but explore that. What about that made you uncomfortable?
Right.
And again, being able to, going back to what we were talking about, repair, being able to be honest and then being able to, hopefully there's a partner in your relationship that is willing to acknowledge and validate and, you know, kind of help repair whatever, you know, whatever feeling you have, or vice versa. If you find yourself with your partner expressing to you, you know, being able to have that space, in the end, you know, it's all about, you know, whatever the issue is versus you guys being against each other. So, with that being said,
end y'all
of
your work
this episode.
To do.
I know, so much work to do. So enjoy that.
We'll
catch you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Bullships, please head over to your podcast player to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Disclaimer: the information and resources contained in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to assess, diagnose, or treat any medical and/or mental health condition. The use of this podcast does not imply nor establish any type of therapist-client relationship. Furthermore, the information obtained from this podcast should not be considered a substitute for a thorough medical and/or mental health evaluation by an appropriately credentialed and licensed professional.